In a critically acclaimed memoir, Margaret B. Jones writes about her life in South Central Los Angeles. In her book, Love and Consequences, she describes herself as a half-white, half-Native American foster child who grew up on the city's mean streets among gangbangers, running drugs, and carrying guns. But after a rave review in the New York Times and a series of author profiles and interviews, it turns out her entire story is made up. Margaret B. Jones is actually Margaret Seltzer, who was all white and who grew up in an upscale California suburb with her biological family. So add to the list of Jason Blair, James Fry, and other notorious fabulists the name Margaret B. Jones, who admitted to the New York Times that she fabricated the memoir. Joining us now is Nicholas Christopher, a novelist and a poet who teaches writing at Columbia University in New York. And welcome, Professor Christopher.
Hello. Good to be here.
What strikes you about this latest case of total literary fabrication?
Well, those are the words. What strikes me is that there are people out there now who are simply gaming the system. You know, when you write nonfiction, you make a covenant with the reader that you're getting the facts to the best of your ability. Here we have a case where someone made up just about everything, and her excuse is, well, she's mushed together and mashed together facts from friends and friends of friends and then made up a story. Well, that's called writing a novel. And, you know, at this point, she was working on this, apparently, from what I've read in the paper, for the last 3 years, which means for two of those years, she was well aware, she had to be, of the Fry affair.
And when you mention Fry, we're talking about James Fry, who is the author of A Million Little Pieces, which turned out was partly made up. Well, can you take a stab at explaining how this happens? I mean, I understand about publishing. You put out a book proposal, then you write it, then it gets edited. So a lot happens before it actually gets published. What steps do publishers take, or should they take, to ensure that this doesn't happen?
Well, apparently they still don't take any. You know, if you have a particularly deft con artist who can make up an alternate reality, and I guess there's a generation growing up with reality TV and can sustain a persona, they can fool you. A publisher getting this could put a young assistant editor on the case for perhaps one afternoon to fact check some of what the person's saying. If I say to you, I just got back from Afghanistan, I was a gunner on a helicopter, wouldn't take you too many phone calls to find out if I were or not.
And that's pretty much standard procedure in a journalistic magazine or even newspapers, for example.
Of course. Yeah. The fact these people come in, make up entire stories, and the publishers don't vet them at all. You know, no publisher publishes that many memoirs. It would not take that much manpower to do some vetting.
Well, let's listen to a clip of Margaret Seltzer. This was recorded by the Daily Talk Show On Point with Tom Ashbrook last week when she was presenting herself as the author of Love and Consequences, Margaret B. Jones. Let's listen.
In my particular neighborhood that we were in, it was, five people beat you for 2 minutes in the street. And the theory behind that, it sounds really brutal, but the theory is your homeboys, they might send you to the hospital, but they're not going to kill you. And if you can't stand up and be a man and take it, knowing that they won't kill you, what are you going to do when the enemies do it?
So there she is. That's Margaret Seltzer presenting herself as Margaret B. Jones and the author of Love and Consequences. What do you hear in that, Nicholas Christopher? Do you hear, I mean, now I guess we hear obviously somebody faking it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know this young woman, but obviously if that's not the way she normally speaks, we hear someone, as I said, acting, assuming another persona. This is not someone who's crossed a line, who's written a memoir and made a few mistakes along the way. This is a complete fabrication.
Have the pressures in the publishing world become so great that the vetting process has suffered, or that there's resistance to making the vetting process more robust?
Well, you know, I don't want to let the publishing business off the hook. I don't think they ever had a vetting process, frankly. But I think there's a lot of pressure of the bottom line at publishers, and they know memoirs can make money, and if they get a sensational story, it's going to make a hell of a lot more money than, say, a first novel. And in terms of those pressures, I could see publishers really not wanting to know, which seems foolhardy in the end because they have to withdraw the books and it doesn't work out.
Right.
So you'd think that it's kind of foolish. I mean, it's really not a very smart way to do business.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us about this today. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
That's Nicholas Christopher. He's an author and poet who teaches creative writing at Columbia University in New York.